Yo, we're here. What's going on, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am broadcasting live out here in Los Angeles. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Yo, you know the holidays are here. You need a new iPhone for yourself or your loved one? Enter now for a chance to get the new iPhone 11 by completing a short survey. Go to getiphonenow.com. That's getiphonenow.com. Again, getiphonenow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let everybody know that we're live right now because we're going to have a great conversation on tonight's broadcast. We're going to take a quick break. Don't you move a muscle. We'll be right back on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Have you ever wondered why some people who are not as qualified as you, not as smart as you, or as talented as you can achieve so much phenomenal success out here in the world? If you want to learn the secrets and be ready for a change in 2020, order the book How to Be Successful with or Without a College Degree by author Derek Collins. In this book, he's going to give you straight to the point, no-nonsense principles that will help you take your life to the next level. So go to successclass.org and purchase the book today. Remember, that's successclass.org.
What if there was an opportunity for you to actually get your finances together and make money and pay for things that you already love? That's exactly what the creators of Yelp have done. YelpToday.com is an online platform that teaches financial responsibility without being pushy or salesy. It's designed to show you how to put your money to work, fix your credit, and make an impact with your buying power. For less than a dollar a day, you get unlimited access to information and resources. If you go to YelpToday.com and use the promo code Tariq, you'll be entered to win a free vacation. This month, our winner will be heading to Thailand. Every month, you'll get amazing trips, content, and resources. Go to YelpToday.com and enter the code Tariq to lock in your opportunity to go to Thailand. That's YelpToday.com.
That's YelpToday.com.
Check out the Hurricane Report. That's a news website dedicated to lovingly serving the Black American community. Go to the website at h-report.news. Subscribe to them and follow them on Instagram at h_reeeport and at Twitter at thehreport2, and you share the articles. You can purchase merchandise, donate, do a lot of stuff. So again, go to h-report.news.
It's your main man, Mr. X. Get your hand on my pocket, and I'm here to give you what you want, to give you what you need.
This is Mrs. X. Listen to Get Your Hands Out My Pocket on SoundCloud.com/GYHOMP.
We are also on YouTube and Facebook. Come be the solution to Black people's problems.
Listen up, family. Black empowerment needs a uniform, and On Code Clothing is it. The On Code brand is exclusive, and it's not intended for general consumption, you dig? You got to be codified to appreciate this thing of ours. So don't hesitate. Go check out the latest gear for the season and get fly right from your phone. Be sure to follow On Code Clothing on social media for the latest deals. You can also subscribe to their website and get access to instant savings. So go On Code and stay on code at OnCodeClothing.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines. The new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines. Now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now listening to the incredible, the legendary, Tariq Nasheed.
A nasty, vile gutter snipe. Right up out the hood.
On Tariq Radio.
JJ getting all this cash.
Yo, what's up, guys? We're back. We're back. What's happening? We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have everybody tuning in, family, on this wonderful evening. I'm in a good mood, even though I'm still physically out of whack. Y'all know I was in the hospital a few days ago, but I'm good. I'm back in the crib, and I'm good. Ladies and gentlemen, I am good. I'm taking my antibiotics and all that. I had a, y'all know I had foot surgery a couple of weeks ago, and my foot got badly, badly infected. And they got me on these hard-ass antibiotics, and I hate taking any type of pills. So I got to take these pills for a few days. And the thing is, these things be killing my kidneys. So I hollered at my dude, Dahuti. Shout out to our brother, Dahuti. He was in Hidden Colors 5, and he gave me some kidney remedies, and I got some stuff from him, from his website. So I'm going to get right. So I'm good. I'm here for the family. I am here, ladies and gentlemen, for the family. Man, speaking of Hidden Colors 5, you guys know you can stream Hidden Colors 5 right now at HiddenColorsFilm.com. You can stream Hidden Colors 5. Hidden Colors 4, 3, 2, and 1. You can stream all the films at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Those of you who don't have a DVD player, if you have an Xbox or a DVD player, you can get the DVD at HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. But we're here. We're still trying to get everything organized for the Foundation of Black American Conference. We're kind of at a standstill right now. We're right under 50K. We're going to definitely need more than that. We're going to need more participation to make this thing pop off. We got 14 days to go, so we definitely, in order for us to get this thing popping, we're going to need the community's energy. The community wanted this thing. So we want everybody to get involved. If you're serious about having the Foundation of Black American Conference, this is a community thing that the community is supposed to be putting together. See, we need the community's energy on that. We know we've been getting a lot of people hating. A lot of people have been trying to sabotage. And we're going to talk about how to play past that on today's show. We got to play past the dust, because we're having a dusty wave out here. And that's what we're going to talk about on today's show. The dust wave is very serious, and that's always been a problem in our community. Playing past the dust wave. But again, everybody, get your advance tickets on Indiegogo. You can click the link in the profile below. You get your advance tickets to show us that you guys are ready so we can make this thing pop off like we need to pop off. And you know what's interesting? A lot of people have been asking me from other ethnic groups, like white, Hispanic. A lot of people have been sending me DMs and emails saying, "Hey, Tariq, you know, I'm Mexican, I'm Puerto Rican, I'm Irish. You know, is it okay for me? Can I come to the Foundational Black American Conference?" And I tell people, "Yeah, you can come. We're not excluding anybody from entering. We're letting you know we're going to be talking about Foundational Black American agendas. That's going to be the priority, but you can come. You know, we're not going to be hostile to you or anything like that. It's an event where we're just talking about our agenda." But you know, that's an interesting thing. Y'all, have you guys ever noticed when other groups do stuff, Black people, we don't really try to go to their stuff. If it's about you, we don't really care. We don't try to go to the Asian community meetings, or we don't try to go to the Hispanic community meetings or some of their think tanks. if there's some alt-right stuff going on, we don't try to go into their stuff. Have you guys noticed that? We don't really care about if you guys got some stuff going on for yourselves. Knock yourself out. We don't really trip on it. But when it comes to us, when we get together and start talking about things we need to get popping, notice how everybody wants to be involved. They were doing that with Farrakhan back in the day. Farrakhan would say, hey, white people want to come up in these mosques with us all the time. They always trying to come up in here to see. They'll come up in here before some of these Negroes will come up in here to get the damn truth. You understand? But notice they always want to be in the damn mix. Whenever we do something, they want to be in the front row. That happened in South Africa. I did a lecture in South Africa. And at the lecture, there's a bunch of damn white people in the front row. I'm like, what are you? I'm like, what? In my mind, I'm like, what are you here for? What's this about? And they were asking questions. They were the main ones trying to be vocal. So, is this going to be a reverse apartheid type of thing going on? Whenever we got something going on for us, everybody wants to be in the damn mix, don't they? Anytime we get together and we talk about an agenda for ourselves, it's always something that we got to see what the Negroes are talking about. Everybody wants to see what we got planned. Everybody wants to be in our mix. So we got to keep our eyes out for that. We got to keep our eyes open for that. Again, we're not going to, legally, I don't think we can deny people from coming in based on their ethnicity for legal reasons, but I'm just letting folks know it ain't kumbaya. We're not talking about intersectionality. We're not talking about people of color. We're not going to be talking about minorities. We're going to be talking about tangibles for foundational Black Americans. How can we acquire them? How can we generate them? How can we network with each other? Who to network with? This is going to be a very positive event if everybody gets involved. Again, we're just under 50,000. We can't really do anything with that. We're going to be stuck there. I give everybody their money back at the end of the campaign, because I damn sure I'm not having no struggle event. I don't do struggle events. There's too many people I want to bring in and make this thing pop off. So I want to see if we got real interest for this, because, again, people ask me to do this. I'll be glad to do it. But I just want to see if we got real interest for it. We're going to have to do it correctly, because, again, we already got people out here upset about it. People want to get into the mix. We got to deal with too much. We got to deal with the white supremacists upset. We got to deal with the agent provocateurs. We got to deal with these other ethnic groups trying to get in the mix. Then we got to deal with the Dusties in our own community trying to sabotage it. The Dusties, those are the worst. Those are the most dangerous, because they're motivated by dust, jealousy, and hate. Dusties, they hate progressive Black people. And again, I've been threatened by a lot of dusty dudes and hood rats, literally threatened because of this event. There's people out here, dusty Negroes and hood rats, talking about harming me and my family because of this event. This shows you the level of dust we have out here. You dig? But that's what we have to expect when we want to be progressive. Because look, family, we got basically a month until we start a new decade, guys. Do y'all realize that? We have a month before we start a new decade. A new decade is coming up, family. And we got to walk into this decade, and we have to set the tone. The start of new decades, there are tones that are set. We got to set the kind of tone for the behavior that's going to happen in 2020 and that decade, the 2020s. Because understand, the white supremacists, they set the tones in certain decades of what it's going to be. In the 1920s, they set the tone. It was going to be racial terrorism. In the 1960s, ladies and gentlemen, we set the tone. It's going to be ass kicking and codification in the 1960s. Remember, the 1960s, we were on their bumpers. This is why, you ever notice why all these white supremacists go down there to Mississippi and start shooting at the Emmett Till monument? Because, see, they look at that as them taking an L. Because, see, the Emmett Till murder, that kicked off the civil rights movement. When that happened, black folks said, okay, the gloves are off. You killing our kids, the gloves are off. So we stomped into the 60s heavy. We went into the 60s like, okay, we're going to codify our mindset. We're going to shut these buses down. We're going to shut the city down. We're going to mess their money up. Cats were taking it to the streets. Cats was burning down these white supremacist buildings. People were fighting back, sniping, brothers coming back from Vietnam, shooting at these white supremacists. It was on and popping in the 60s. They don't tell you the whole story of the 60s. They got you thinking the 60s was just about John Lewis and them running around Selma getting their ass whooped. That is not what encased the whole 60s. They were about the business in the 60s. Let's just get it right. So we set the tone then. So another tone was set in the 70s, since we put in so much work in the 60s, and a tone was set in the 70s of interracial sexual access. Black dudes getting sexual access to white women openly. So that was the tone in the 70s. I mean, they started the decade off in that. Look at all those early 70s blaxploitation movies. All of them had those sex scenes with the white women, the brothers laying up with them white women. That set the tone. And then the 80s, that set the tone. We went into the 80s partying, getting high, coming out of that whole Studio 54 thing. We went into the 80s. Everything was partying, getting high, festivities. And you know, the crack era came through, so we set an incorrect tone. Now, in the 90s, we started getting it right. There was a level of consciousness in the 90s. We went into the 90s with a more conscious mindset. Then we had those riots in 92, shutting stuff down. The mindset in the 90s was different. And now let's fast forward to recent times, 2010. The 2010s, that decade, there were two tones set, as a matter of fact. One tone was the Obama intersectionality, people of color, we all in this together tone that was failing. We went in there thinking that Obama was the savior and he was going to save and fix everything, and he didn't. We went in there on some kumbaya, and I knew that wasn't going to pop off, because what also happened in 2010, what started this decade popping, was the Hidden Colors woke era. We started filming Hidden Colors 2010 because I knew if we don't wake the hell up right now in this decade, if we don't start this decade off right, we're going to be ass out. So we got the Hidden Colors popping and we started filming 2010. It was released 2011. That changed the game. That's why so many people are woke now. We changed the game. I'm saying we, all of us, because it was really the 300. I always call them the 300. It was the 300 that helped get the Hidden Colors series off the ground. If it wasn't for the 300 making Hidden Colors happen, I would not have done it. I always shout out the 300, and this is very important. We don't need a whole bunch of people to be on a bandwagon. We just need a very targeted select few of people who can change history. And always give props to the people, those a little under 300 people contributed to the first Hidden Colors film. That changed the course of history as we know it. That changed the course of history. That's how we gotta get down. See, this is what I look at. I look at that core group that's willing to stay all the way on code and make all the changes that we need to make. That's all we need, family. And I want y'all to get that mindset in your brain. You just need your 300. A small core group of people, enough people on code, they can change history. This is why I did the movie 1804. A small group of people got together in Haiti. Remember, everybody wasn't on board. A small group, enough of them got together and said, look, we getting free. This bullshit we dealing with, it's going to stop. Let's call Ogun. Let's reject the white man's God. And let's get it popping. And damn it, they got it popping. I bet it was about 300 people at that voodoo ceremony at the Bois Cayman Swamp over there in Haiti. That's when they first got everything popping for the Haitian Revolution at the Bois Cayman Swamp. I bet it was about 300 people there. It was a small group. And they got it popping. That's all you need. So we need to go into 2020 as mental warriors. We got to go in here as warriors, man. Because they're working on us heavy. See, notice right now, they're beating us over the head. See, they're trying to set the tone for us now. They're trying to emasculate the black males. They're trying to break up our families. They're trying to turn our children out. I mean, they're working on us heavy right now. The propaganda, the garbage, the filth, they're trying desperately to psychologically destroy us. So we got to be mental warriors. We got to go into 2020. Chest up, head up, chin up, 10 toes down, ready, codified. You understand? This is why I want to have that event. This is why it's going to be very important to have this event, because 2020, this is pertinent for these white supremacists. See, they got to keep us asleep because they're in trouble. Their numbers are looking bad right now. Their numbers are dwindling, people. So understand, they're on their way out the door and they know it. So they have to pass the baton to these other wannabe white supremacists. They're passing the baton to these Asian wannabe white supremacists and these Hispanic wannabe white supremacists. You understand? So it's imperative that they trick us into letting these folks ride in on our back so they can turn around and throw the chains back on us. We have to be completely codified about who we are. We have to look out for our ethnic group first. We cannot be on no kumbaya with everybody at this moment. Don't let people trick you with that, man. Y'all being divisive. Man, look, these people are waging an ethnic war against us. We don't have time to play with these folks. We have to look out for us, us, us. Do y'all understand? There's a reason why these folks want to be all up in our meetings and all up in our little events. There's a reason why. They want to be just like the white supremacists. The white supremacists want to be all up in the mix all the damn time. They always want to know what you do. Black folks, how many white trolls do you have to block a day? All these little white supremacist trolls, that's all they do. Stay on our pages all damn day. Do we go on their pages? We don't be on Richard Spencer's page. We don't be on none of the alt-right's page. We don't be on Ben Shapiro's page. We could care less about what they do on a daily basis. We can't have a conversation among each other without them popping up in our conversations in their little troll accounts. That's all they do is sit up and look at what we're doing, look at what we're saying. They're so hypersensitive about their numbers. So this is why we got to be codified. We got to go into 2020 with a vengeance. We got to go in here heavy. We got to be codified on all fronts. We have to network on all fronts to know who's out there. We got to be around like-minded people. This is why the Foundation of Black American Conference is very, very imperative, ladies and gentlemen. Because you got to watch the propaganda that they're putting out right now. I told people with the Grammys, the Grammy nominations came out. I told people Lil Nas X, they're about to give him a bunch of Grammys. Again, they have to credentialize some of their tools. They have to give their tools credentials. That little Old Town Road song, it was a cool little novelty song, but they're trying to make this dude, Lil Nas X, out to be the greatest rapper ever. They got to parade him around and talk about how this is a first for gay artists. So they're giving him all of these fake accolades in order to push an agenda. They're going to give him all types of Grammys for that little one-hit wonder-ass novelty song that he did. And Lizzo, too. She's another one. And not to hate on her. I'm not hating on this sister. But the whole mammy thing. White people love this, that mammy thing. This huge woman running around twerking. And white people eat that stuff up. They're about to give her a lot of awards. They're about to credentialize her. This is what they like to see. And I just saw some stuff where I think she was in Vogue magazine. They did the same thing with Gabby Sidibe. Same thing. Same thing. You understand? So we got to be ready. We have to be ready psychologically. Did y'all see, speaking of ready, did y'all see the story that came out about the Harriet movie? They're talking about, they were, the writer said that they wanted Julia Roberts, who's a white actress, back in the 90s when they first talked about doing the Harriet movie. He said they wanted Julia Roberts to play Harriet. And this story has circulated. It has gone viral. I posted it up on my Instagram. And let me tell you about that story. I think that's a fake story. I think that story is fake. They're putting it out there because the Harriet movie basically flopped. So I guess they're trying to salvage it for some DVD, for the DVD sales later. So they're trying to keep some stuff up about the movie in the media. They're trying to get some, keep a little traction going on the movie. The movie has just flopped miserably. And this little fake story that they put out about they were going to put a white actress and make her Harriet Tubman, basically to get black folks riled up and to say, oh man, look how the white folks be doing us, man. See, we all in this together. The white people be against both of us, black people and black people from the diaspora. So that's a con game. They weren't about to cast no damn Julia Roberts as Harriet Tubman. It was, this guy said it was an unnamed executive who said it's, no they didn't, they made this whole story up. They made it up. They knew that it would go viral if they said that. So they're trying to get some more traction for this flop ass movie. So don't fall for that. It's a publicity stunt. Watch out for these racial publicity stunts. I told y'all what they like to do. The white media, they will do these cultural appropriation stories, like when one of the Kardashians will put out a product and then they'll take a picture with braids, and then the white media will say, oh my God, every black people are upset because of the Kardashians' cultural appropriation. Oh my God. And then that will go viral and that will help their product sell. They do this. They sit in boardrooms and they do this stuff. Oh no, Gucci just put out a shirt that looks like blackface. Oh God, Gucci is so, black people are really mad. Black Twitter is really letting them have it. That's a con game. They use racial angst as a marketing tool. That's all it is. So we shouldn't take the bait all the time. We shouldn't always take that bait. But with that Harriet movie, again, they understood that black people, foundational black Americans, had issues with the lead actress, immigrant, Cynthia Erivo and some of her anti-foundational Black American views. So watch out for these white supremacists who try to play on that. See, this is another thing, too, we got to be codified about. And I told people about this years ago. One thing you don't do, even if you have issues with other Black people, you do not sit with white supremacists and dump on other Black people. That's one thing you don't do. That's part of the code, because they don't do it with us. They don't join with other white people, or I mean, they don't join with other Black people. White people don't join with Black people to dump on white folks. White people are not going to sit up with Black people and dump on a white person. They just don't do that. That's part of their code. We have to be on code like that. We got to be on code like that. And look, they give you big bucks to do stuff like that. Look at Stephen A. Smith. Did y'all see how much Stephen A. Smith makes? Stephen A. Smith gets millions of dollars. And basically all he does is get up here throwing Black folks under the bus. Those Negroes in sports, they sit up and get tens of millions of dollars by just throwing Black folks under the bus. That's their job. And they know to get immigrants or second generation immigrants to do it. And I talked about Stephen A. Smith on my last Sunday stream. A lot of folks don't know that this guy, his ancestry goes to St. Thomas. He's Caribbean. And a lot of folks, and we pointed this out a few days ago when I did a broadcast about it, and now Stephen's feeling the heat. People are looking at him funny like, yeah, nigga, no wonder you're such a Sambo. You're from a different damn ethnic culture. You look at us as a whole different ethnic group from you. So it's easy for you to throw us under the bus. So Stephen, he was doing some nigger-splaining on his show the other day because folks were getting on him. But listen to him. He's nigger-splaining a little bit.
About how his points are eradicated. I'm not talking about the kneeling. I'm not talking about the protesting. I'm a Black man, you idiots. You think I have a problem with a man that is kneeling and protesting racial oppression and police brutality? Do you know anything about my history in 25 years in this damn business? From the New York Daily News to the Philadelphia Inquirer to CNN to Fox to ESPN? Do you have any idea about my damn background and the fights that I have taken on?
Oh, God. So now he's extra Black now. Oh, he's bucking them eyes. So now he's proving he's Black now. My God. He is bucking them eyes something fierce. Because folks are getting in his ass now. You dig? So this dude he's going to come to work in a leather goddamn coat. He's like Shaft. He's going to come in with an afro on that fucked up hairline and jump through the window with a rope like goddamn Shaft. Now he's extra Black now. Stop it, Stephen. Stop it. Because, see, understand, folks like Stephen, and we pointed out, you know, the other day his background. And I've had people from the Caribbean try to get all in my mentions, splaining. Every time we point out these foreign Sambos who come over here throwing us under the bus, you notice there's always some people caping for them and trying to put it on us. Hey, man, why are you pointing out Stephen A. Smith? Why are you being divisive? You get a lot of that. Why are you being divisive? That's divisive, saying that about Caribbean. I'm talking about Stephen. I'm talking about Caribbean coons, foreign coons. That is divisive. Well, how come y'all don't never say that to him? You guys know he's part of your community. See, this is the problem I have. See, y'all know, you know Candace Owens is one of you. You know Stephen A. Smith is one of you. You know Amanda Seals and Tarana Burke. You know those are your folks. I don't never hear y'all say anything about them. I don't ever hear y'all say anything about the little slick shit that these people do by throwing Black Americans under the bus all the time. Y'all never say anything. But when we call them out, all of a sudden, we in this together. We all was on the same slave ship together. We hear that bullshit. Stop. Stop trying to con. We're not falling for that. See, this is why, and I talked about how coons operate. See, and foundation of Black American society, especially back in the day. If you were a coon, especially if you sold somebody out, if you sold a Black person out, your ass would have to go into witness protection. Remember the coon who sold out Fred Hampton? That William, I think Thompson, I think that's his name, the one who gave the FBI and the police the blueprints to the house and all that stuff and the layout of the apartment. They had to put his ass in witness protection. You would have to go into witness protection, you and your family, if you sold Foundation of Black Americans out, because there was no community you could go to. The whole Black community, the foundational Black community, knew about your ass. They knew you were a snitch. They knew you were an informant. They knew you were a sellout. So there was no place for you to come and chill. But what happens with these foreign communities, these immigrant communities, we got these, the little coon factories. What y'all do, you guys act as witness protection programs for your goddamn coons. So Stephen A. Smith can go buck dance it up on TV and go back to his family and his little community, and they share the same views. You dig? See, you get protection from your community. You can go and be nice and you can be good because they're protecting you, because they share the same anti-foundational Black American views. Let's just keep it 100. And see, we're putting a stop to all that because we're going to start focusing on what we need to focus on, and we're going to delegitimize these Sambos, these anchored Sambos that the white supremacists keep propping up among us. See, this is why we got to start checking folks' backgrounds and calling them out and getting them right. So y'all can stop with the fake neutrality garbage, because we're calling the BS out. It's long overdue. But we is all Black peoples. Why you got to say all that? Hatred goes both ways. No, it don't. I don't want to hear all that stuff, because look, Black folks, we don't go to the Caribbean undermining people in their political aspirations. We don't go undermining the societies there. You don't see foundational Black Americans going to St. Thomas or the Caribbean or Grenada or Jamaica. None of these places. We don't go there trying to undermine your political structure and your social structure and your economic structure. We don't do that. This ain't no both sides are wrong neutrality. No. This is something that other groups damn near exclusively do to us. We don't do that to you. And you are going to get called out for doing it. We don't do that to you. Ain't nobody dumping on you. Let's be very clear. Let me tell y'all something. If we wanted to, we could, because there's money in it. Let me tell you something. The white supremacists, for us, they'll give big bucks for us to dump on other Black folks. They'll give us big dollars to dump on other Black people, and especially Black immigrants. Look, I've had, because of the foundational Black American movement, and speaking of how the movement is going, they're having the Democratic debate tonight, and from what I understand, Elizabeth Warren, she was on there using the word tangible. She's up there talking about tangibles. Did y'all hear it? Several people hit me up and said, Elizabeth Warren, they're all using our language. I know they are. They've been doing that. They're using our language. You guys understand that? They all up there talking about tangibles this, tangibles that. We're making them use our language. This is what I mean by us setting the tone. We're going to have to create the language to make them start talking right. You understand? But foundational Black Americans, we are influential, and there's a lot of money in throwing other Black folks under the bus. Now that they see that we're looking out for our own group and we are having some discussions about other ethnic groups coming into our circle. See, the white supremacists, they want to come in and try to exploit that, and this is why we have to be on code. Let me tell y'all something. I've gotten calls from these white networks wanting to put me on and give me a real big bag to get on TV and get out here and start throwing black immigrants under the bus with them. You think they haven't hit me up, people? Y'all think these folks haven't hit me up? When I start saying that I agree with Trump, do y'all Google that? Google Tariq Trump. Look at all the right-wing publications that jumped on that. Look at all of them that jumped on that. And I'm talking about especially a person like me, as black as I am. They would love for me to join with them to dump on some black immigrants. There's a huge bag for that. If I wanted just to get a bag, if I just wanted to get a damn bag, I just get on there with them and get that bag. But the thing is, I have a code. I don't sit up with white supremacists dumping on any black people, even if I disagree with the black people. I don't do that. I remember being on CNN a couple of years ago. Now, there was that bedwench who got arrested with her white husband or white boyfriend, whatever he was. Now, I wasn't all privy to all her bedwinch, and I wasn't cool with her bedwinching, but when I got on TV, I wasn't going to throw her under the bus either. I wasn't going to be against her on TV with all the white people. Now, there were some Sambos on there dumping on that woman. There were some bedwinches and mammies on the news with me, and I was kind of checking them for not being on code. Don't sit your ass on here with all these white folks and dump on another black person. You better stay codified. No, I'm not going to get up there and you're not going to get me to dump on black people, even if I don't like them. I'm not going to dump on them sitting next to you. You dig? That's what you don't do. Got to be codified. But family, as far as being codified, we also, if we want to be progressive black people, we got to understand the war that's going on. And I talked about this earlier. In order for us to progress, see, we got to battle these white supremacists. The white supremacists are always coming at us. And then we have to deal with the wannabe white supremacists. Many of the wannabe white supremacists, Asian, Arab, Hispanic, all of these different ethnic groups who's on the totem pole lifted up by the white supremacists to be the buffer class. We got to battle these groups. And then on top of that, we got to battle these Candace Owens and the Stephen A. Smiths. We got to battle these people too. See, other groups don't have to deal with that. Other groups don't have to go through all these battles in order to be successful, in order to progress. And by the way, everybody hit the thumbs up button real quickly. Everybody hit the thumbs up button, hit the like button, and then hit the subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up button and hit the subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. But like I said, we have to battle all of these different racial and ethnic groups whenever we want to prosper, get tangibles, or be successful at something. And the kicking thing and the killer is, not only do we have to battle these other groups, we have to also battle dusty niggas and hood rats within our own damn group. This is why a lot of times it's very difficult for us to get up off the ground and do what we need to do. This is something that we have to teach each other how to master. We have to learn how to play past dusties and hood rats. We got to learn how to play past that because we're loaded with it. We're loaded with dust. It's just like being on a plantation again. The plantation didn't go anywhere. The plantation basically just expanded. That's all it did. The plantation expanded. So now, remember during antebellum slavery, when black people wanted to escape, it was always the dusties, the people who were comfortable on the plantation who foiled it. It was always those Negroes who were throwing a wrench in the game, telling, messing everything up for everybody, because they were comfortable being subjugated. Because some Negroes, they think subjugation, hell, I got it made. All I got to do is chill and let massa do all the work. Hell, that's a great deal. You think you're getting over. And when we start talking about building, being successful, being financially independent, having a black-run economic base, well, Negroes don't want to hear that. They'll sabotage that. They will sabotage that at the drop of a hat. And that's the problem, family. We have a wave of dust going on in black society. And there's a new wave of dust right now, because right now the white supremacists are getting codified. They're getting out the door. So their resources, they have to tighten up. All of these other ethnic groups, they're tightening up on their resources. There's a scramble for resources. So everybody's getting codified. And what we have people getting dustified. Instead of getting codified to learn how to acquire power, people are learning how to be more dusty, because it's the prison mentality. When you are in captivity, there's a certain mentality that you take on. And too many black people, we've taken on the wrong mentality. See, when you put a white person in captivity, the white people, you know what they try to do? The white people sit up there figuring out ways to break out. That's why most prison breaks are white people. When you see a person breaking out of prison, usually it's a white person. When a white person goes to prison, they're not thinking about no damn religion, because that's what we do. We go to prison and we start converting to 5-6 different damn religions. White people go in there and start looking at all the nooks, crannies, looking at the toilet, looking at the buildings, analyzing, inspecting. How can I break out of this damn place? How can I get the hell out of here? We get in there. We want to bang on each other. We want to convert to a million different religions. Niggas want to start prison rape. It's the same. Fucking each other. Fighting, yelling, talking nonstop, coming up with these long-ass, drawn-out debates. See, we're getting comfortable in captivity because we were comfortable on the plantation. See, this is how we had to cope on the plantation, and greater confinement is just another transition from the plantation. See, we got to get that plantation mentality out the mix. We got to get that out the damn mix. And there's a massive wave of dust going on right now with too many black people. See, we try to emulate a lot of things that happen in white society. See, white society, there's a drug epidemic going on, but they'll be all right. You know, they got a lot of the drugs taking them out, but they have a strong enough counter community to that in order to be cool. See, we don't. So when we try to start getting out here, getting high and fucking around and bullshitting and trying to medicate, self-medicate so we can tune out, that's not going to help anything. See, we got to get off that mentality. That Saturday night, let's just get high to cope with captivity thing. We got to get off that. That just creates a whole new generation of dust. There's too many of you out there, family. I know some of y'all, or not even some, a lot of you were raised by drug addicts or a drug addict, especially if you were, if you're between the ages of like 30 and 45, many of you were raised by a drug addict. Let's talk real. Especially if you live in a big metropolitan city, if you are between the ages of 30 and 45, there is a high likely chance that you were raised by a drug addict. Luckily, not me. But I've been out here in the game. I've been out here in the streets, and I would see a lot of my friends' parents and mothers strung out. This was heavy in the 80s. Again, like I said, the 80s, we went into the 80s partying. We set the tone. Partying and bullshitting. And then that turn, it turned deadly. It turned grave for us. But we don't have the luxury to do that. I saw a story that came out today up in Boston. An 11-year-old black girl was in a store. She was shoplifting. She's 11 years old. She was shoplifting. And the white security guard there was beating her up. Now, he got fired. He's a white Arab security guard. He's in there punching on her, beating her up. 11-year-old black girl. And they fired him, and I'm thinking, okay, that's some sucker shit he did, but why was this 11-year-old shoplifting? Why was this 11-year-old girl even putting herself in that position, knowing the deadly, because they could have killed that little girl. They could have killed this little girl. I want y'all to look this story up. 11-year-old girl shoplifting and got beat up and punched by the security guard. He's beating on this little girl like she's a damn man. Now, I'm thinking, and I always talk about this, black people, why do you let your children walk into danger like this? I wouldn't let my 11-year-old out the house by themselves, let alone be in a position somewhere where they're shoplifting. But when you look at the story, they showed the 11-year-old's mother. The mother looked like a little crackhead, her little teeth janky. She's sitting up there looking strung out. And there it is right there. He showed the mother. The mother looked like a little dope fiend. Family, we don't have time for this BS. Some of you parents out there listening, because most of my audience is young, but some of y'all parents are listening, get your ass off the pipe. Get that plantation bullshit out of your system. You're just creating another generation of dusties. They're going to be dusty like you. At least do it for your children. See, we got to start stepping up for these babies out here. We got to start protecting these children with our lives. You're never going to be a respectable people if you let your children get attacked and targeted and you just sitting around with a goddamn pipe. Let's talk real talk right now. This sitting around piping it up while your kids are being attacked. And even if you're not piping it up, you're cooning it up while your kids are being attacked out here. We got to protect these babies out here. This is why there is a dust wave, because a lot of people, you weren't looking out for the next generation. Again, starting in the 70s and the 80s, it was all about me. It was all about me flossing. It was all about me turning up. A lot of black folks said, it's all about me. Let me live my life. And our kids, they'll figure it out. Let me get high. Let me party. Let me party hardy. That was the saying in the 70s and 80s. Party de hardy. See, we can't do that. We don't have time for that. And children out here, understand this. If you had a little junkie, smoked out parent, which many of you did, I want y'all to understand something. Your parent being a fuck up, that had nothing to do with you, nor any decision you made. So you don't take blame for that. I know a lot of people, they feel like a certain level of guilt because their parents are little dusty drug addicts. You didn't have anything to do with that. But I want you to understand this. You got a choice now. My folks out here with those little dusty ass parents who weren't about shit. Your dad wasn't shit. Your mama wasn't shit. You got a choice. You got a choice to let that hold you back and then you become just like your dusty family. Or you can choose to use their example to motivate you to do the exact opposite. You can use their lifestyle to say, I'm going to be completely opposite of you. And that's a choice that you can make. Because like I said, we don't have time. We don't have the luxury. We don't have the privilege to deal with the dust wave of people out here. We're going to have to learn how to play past the dust, because progressive black people, you're going to be targeted by these dusty people. There's a family friend of mine. He's a family friend of the, I haven't talked to him in years, but my mother was, because my, you know, my mom be all on Facebook. My mom is the damn Facebook queen. She knows about everybody's business in the family on Facebook. She be telling me about relatives I don't even know. You know, cousin Emma just bought, she just bought her a coat for the winter. I'm like, who in the hell is cousin Emma, mom? I don't know none of these people. Your cousin Larry just got his PhD. I'm like, who in the hell is Larry? I ain't never met him. But it was a family friend down in Alabama. And the brother, he's a very good cook. And a lot of people were telling him to go into business for himself. So he went and bought a truck. He bought a food truck. He was going to get a food truck popping and start his business with his food truck. And he put it on Facebook. He's like, hey, guys, I did it. I got my food truck and I'm about to get the business popping. Do y'all know as soon as he posted that he got a new truck, some dusty niggas came and stole the damn truck. Some raggedy, janky, dusty niggas stole the damn truck. This is what we have out here, family. Anytime we want to talk about doing something progressive, we got too many people now that's trying to sabotage us within our own circles because they've accepted the plantation mentality. And remember, the dustiness is in your mind. It's not about your circumstances. The dust is in your mind. Because you can give a dusty motherfucker $1 million and they'll dust it up over a weekend. They'll fuck that money off in 3 days. The dust is in your mind. Have y'all been hearing all these stories about these black women being kidnapped out here? Now, I think the white supremacists might have some shit to do with that, but some of these dusty niggas, they're in the mix too. I've been seeing sisters getting swiped up by these dusty niggas. I saw a video the other day. Some dusty Negro kidnapped this sister, put her in the trunk of her car. Did y'all see this video? This is a very chilling video. And I have a daughter, man. So stuff like this worries me. These little dusty niggas out here. Because these dusty niggas, they're going after soft targets. So this sister, this dude kidnapped his sister in her own car, put her in her trunk, and he was going around using her ATM card. It was video surveillance showing him using her ATM card. And luckily, the sister popped the trunk and jumped out of the trunk. And she saved herself. This was a couple of days ago. See, dusty little niggas like that gotta be regulated. Sisters, you gotta be ready. You better protect yourself. See, we shouldn't have to live like this. But this is why it's all about getting with like-minded people so that we can get together and learn how to protect each other and look out for each other's best interest. The dust wave is real out here. You got dusty niggas out here kidnapping women. This is a lot of dust out here, family. Because again, too many of us are being pressed back into the plantation mentality. And instead of getting together and empowering, we got too many people who want to get together and sabotage and try to exert phony power onto other black people because they felt like the power system has done them wrong. They can't touch the white power system. You can't harm the Asians who's exploiting you. You cannot harm the Arabs who are exploiting you. You cannot harm the Hispanic business people who are exploiting you because they know how to protect themselves from you. So who are you going to exert your little weak power on? Another black person. See, we got to get that mentality out the mix. And progressive black people, we're going to have to learn how to protect ourselves from dusty saboteurs and haters. You understand? Now, what I want to do, I want to give people five tips that I live by and that you can live by too on how you can sidestep a lot of the dust waves and dusty Negroes and hood rats who try to sabotage you so that you can stay on the path of success. See, we have to learn how to do that, unfortunately. We just can't get regular success advice. We have to add another layer to it because we have too many other entities that are trying to harm us. That's just the reality we live in. And I'm telling from experience. Look, when I first started doing the Hidden Color series, immediately there were people trying to sabotage that. There were dusty Negroes. First, there were white supremacists, and then there were dusty Negroes trying to sabotage it. Now, what's interesting, when I did my books, The Art of Mackin' and all that, everybody was cool with that. Nobody had a problem with that. But the minute I start trying to do something that's going to educate people on history, all of a sudden, I started to get sabotaged. Remember, when I first started doing Hidden Colors, there were dusty niggas making videos about how I shouldn't make a movie like that. And there were people trying to sabotage the Kickstarter campaign when I did the first Hidden Colors. They were trying to sabotage Hidden Colors then. Whenever we try to be progressive, somebody's going to try to sabotage it. Fast forward now. We tried to do, or we're trying to do, the Foundation of Black American Conference. It's being sabotaged left and right. The Kickstarter, again, was sabotaged to the point where they had to take it down. That stopped a lot of the momentum because a lot of people got kind of weary. They're like, well, are we going to lose money? You're not going to lose money. So we got the Indiegogo. We're still under $50,000. There's so many people still trying to attack that. We got to stay focused. We got to play past that. Because the name of the game is for them to keep you disheartened. They want you to be disheartened. But we got to play past that type of mentality. These dusty Negroes and hood rats who are not going to amount to anything, and they're not going to help you do anything because they've not done anything. If you look at them, they haven't done anything. And that's one thing. You don't take advice from people who ain't really done shit. That's our problem. We got too many people trying to give their input and they don't have any numbers on the board. See, we got to look at people's track record and also look at people who try to take credit for other people's track records. But understand, let me give you guys five tips on what to do, some ways that you can avoid dust and you can try to be successful. Number one, if you see older successful black people, talk to them. There's this thing where a lot of times black people, we see an older black person and we be like, oh, that nigga's old. He don't know nothing. If you see an older black person, even if they're not successful, I like talking to older black people because they know stuff. Even if they're not successful, talk to some old black people. They'll lace you with some game, surprisingly. But if you see an older successful black person, chop up game with them. They will lace you with game. You just got to be worthy of getting the game. And if you're worthy by asking and chopping it up with them. A lot of folks just don't want to chop it up with them. And I've always told the story. I remember as a kid, when I lived in Birmingham, Alabama, there was a very wealthy black man. He was one of the richest black men in the country at the time, Mr. A.G. Gaston. And he had all types of radio stations, boys clubs. I went to his boys club. He had all types of businesses all around Birmingham. And he was at a fish joint. At a restaurant. He came into the fish joint. I was there eating and people talking to him, praising him, greeting him and everything. And Mr. Gaston came over to me and laced me with some real quick game out the blue. He walked over to me and said, "Hey, young man, I want you to remember this. You will never get rich working for somebody else." And then walked off. That's some of the best game I've had in my life. That right there. Old man A.G. Gaston walking up to me, giving me 10 seconds of game. I've lived by that, listening to that as a child. That's why I don't work for nobody now. Little stuff like that will change your lives. Being around people who will lace you with just a little bit. The game got to be in you. So they know how to cultivate it out of you. And the reason he came to me, he felt my energy. He felt the game was in me. He knew to come to me and drop that on me. Instinctively, he knew that I would do something with that. You understand? The game is for those who are worthy of receiving the game. A lot of time, you don't want to lace nobody with some game who ain't really worthy of it, because you're just wasting your words. You're just wasting conversation. You don't want to waste game on somebody who ain't going to do nothing with it. You want to lace somebody who you know is going to take that thing to the next level. He saw something. He knew. You understand? Now, the second step of being successful in avoiding dust in black society, if you see younger black people who are successful, don't hate on them. You peep game from them too. A lot of times we see a young cat running around, he's fly, all of a sudden you think that he's doing something nefarious. He may or may not be doing something nefarious, but shit, still learn some game from him. Peep some game from the young cat. See what kind of moves that cat is making. Chop it up with him. Don't just hate on him, because the jealousy comes out. You see somebody your same age, kind of flyer than you, chop up some game with him and see what he's doing. Get that hater thing out your system. That hating thing ain't going to do nothing for you. And that brings us to number three, and this is for the ladies out here. Ladies, number three. Don't be fooled by Instagram success. See, a lot of ladies, y'all feel bad because you might be out here struggling and you looking on Instagram and you seeing the chick with her ass out standing in front of a Mercedes and she got a bag of money and all this stuff. And you're like, damn, how this bitch getting it in? And I'm out here struggling. And then you mad and you jealous of the Instagram chick. But understand this. If you see an Instagram chick with nice cars and stuff and her ass is out and titties is out and every other picture is a bikini picture, well, these are people who are getting flued out. She's getting flued out, people. So that's nothing you should be envious of. She's getting flued out to Dubai. She's out there going to Dubai. Old white men are flying her out, wearing that cootie cat out. So don't even trip on that. She's getting flued out. She's doing something strange for some change. If they got all their clothes off and they out there taking pictures in front of cars and all that, don't even trip on that. Check out the sister who has her clothes on with all that fly shit. That's the one you want to chop it up with and see what she got going on. The ones with their clothes on, that's who you say, okay, let me see what she got popping. Let me see what she has going on. Follow her moves and see what she's doing with herself and kind of learn some game from her. Now, number four, family, some ways in this new era that we can stay on the path of success and avoid the dust. Stop telling people all your damn plans. That's a very big mistake too many black people make. We talk too much before we get things off the ground. And the thing is, when you start telling people your plans, if there's dusty folks around, they're going to start going out of their way to talk you out of doing what you need to do. They're going to start down talking your plans. They're going to start telling you how it's not a good idea. They're going to start putting doubts in your mind and you won't even get the plans off the ground. if you feel strongly about something, you get that thing moving and then let them hate after you get it moving. Get the momentum going on your own and then let them bastards hate later when you got the momentum going. You understand? We got to stop talking so much. And number five, one of the most important things, family, on how to avoid the dusty people around you and the dusty wave that is a blanket on Black progress. If you are around a lot of dusty people, get up and move. Move, move, move. You are not obligated. If you're an adult, even if you're a damn child, if you're a child and you're around a bunch of dusty ass people, run away. And when I mean child, I mean 16 and up. 16, 17, 18. Leave home. If you're around a bunch of dusty people, you're old enough to go get a job. Get away from them dusty bastards. I ain't talking about no little kid. I'm not telling a little kid to run away. But if you're 16 up, you can go get a damn job somewhere. You can legally work. Get the hell away from them dusty ass people. Move, move, move. For some reason, Black people think that they're obligated to just stay around dusty ass people all their damn lives. You're not. There's a big world out there. There's a big country out here. Move, move, move. All these dusty, nothing niggas you grew up with didn't get nothing popping. Don't plan on getting nothing popping. All they gonna do is kill your damn energy and your spirit. Move, move, move. Get your ass up and move somewhere else. Move as far away from them niggas as possible. You ain't got nothing popping there anyway. Move, move, move. Start a whole new life. Your life will change when you get them dusty niggas out of your mix. There's a big world out there. There's a lot of opportunities out there. I'm telling you, the Black people who you see are the most successful are the ones who travel. You show me some traveling Black folks, I'll show you some successful Black folks. Black people who move, 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 they're going to go out here and do some big things. Because movement creates energy already. Movement already creates energy, and energy creates success. Staying stagnant in the same place, that kills your shit. I remember going to Dubai. I met a lot of Black people from America over there doing great. Black folks over there doing wonderful over there. And just all over. You go places where Black people travel, move, go to new cities, go to new places, find success. Especially you do this when you're young. If you're a young person, you have your youth ahead of you. So you don't have any type of mortgages, car notes like that. You don't have major responsibilities. Get out here and explore. Go to different places. Experience the world. Move, move, move. I'm big on movement. I move all around all the time. That's why I'm always doing new stuff. I like moving around, moving to new opportunities, moving to new endeavors. I do stuff to the point where my body physically breaks down. That's why I can't walk right now. My body has physically broken down. I do so much shit. I don't mind that because that's what I'm here for. My body has to physically break down so I can't do anything for me to sit my ass down. We have to move, do new things, get away from people who are not progressive, move and get around people who have things going on, people that we can grow with, people we can benefit from, people we can network with. That's who we need to be around. And there are people out there. We just need to be with them. We need to gravitate to them. We spend way too much time trying to pull teeth with dusty niggas who you done grew up with, and a lot of them are in your family, your dusty uncle, your dusty cousin always telling you what you can't do. We ain't got time to sit up and listen to all that. Get with some people who's on the same page as you and who's trying to build and who's trying to network. That's how we combat the dust. The dust is going to be there. We have to find the people who are like-minded and build with them. That's the beauty of networking with people who's on the same page. All we need is that small group of 300. It's the small group of 300. I always talk about that 300. You don't need a whole bunch of damn folks. If there's too many people somewhere, usually it's a wave of dust. When you see too many people somewhere, like at the little booty shake weekend somewhere, the booty shake spring break weekend, whatever city it's in, it's usually a wave of damn dust. Let's be real. Whenever there's just a bunch of niggas somewhere just hanging out, kicking it, thirst trapping, hood rats, dusty niggas all over, it's usually just a wave of dust that don't amount to shit. All-Star Weekend, what the hell do y'all get out of All-Star Weekend now? It's nothing. Nothing. I understand when young people want to party, kick it, and all that stuff, but it ain't even fun. A lot of times, people go to these places, they ain't even having a good time. People standing around mean mugging each other. I remember, hell, back in the day with Freaknik, at least everybody had a good damn time. Everybody was partying, everybody was getting down, everybody was festive. You go to some of these little spring break, dusty nigga hangout weekends and hood rat festivals, everybody's standing around mean mugging. It don't even look fun. And then they start shooting. Somebody starts shooting and fighting. It's not even fun, and then a fight break out. It's dumb nigga dusty shit. You dig? So again, we need to be around progressive, like-minded people to avoid the dust. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Everybody, again, we got 14 days left for the Foundational Black American Conference. The link is right there below. Everybody, contribute to it. If you contribute it, let's contribute again so we can make this thing happen. It's still under 50,000. I don't know what's going on. I know that it's a lot of dusties are trying to sabotage it, but we got to play past that because this is very important. We're going to have to go into 2020 heavy. So again, go to Indiegogo, the Foundational Black American Conference. Get your advance tickets there so we can make this thing pop off like we need to pop off. And ladies and gentlemen, you guys have a progressive week.